Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Friday morning, Morning Scramble, ready to take on the day, get into the weekend. Had a nice little thunderstorm overnight.
Yeah, woke me up.
Same here.
Kind of loud.
Got the, and then driving in, did you get a little bit of the lightning show to the south?
A little, yes.
To the down?
Not like strikes, but like in the clouds.
Yes, flash, flash.
Yeah. Kind of like a, I don't know, more Garth Brooks Thunder Rolls kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a Jerry Bruckheimer movie.
Yeah.
Lightning. It's just how it sets up.
It wasn't the lightning strikes part. I don't know, but it was... It was gentle.
The lightning glows?
Yes, it was more glowy.
Could have been an alternative lyric.
Yeah.
The lightning glows.
Mm-hmm. That's how it was going. Yeah.
It looks like rain's going to kind of linger between about now and 7 o'clock, and then we got a sunny day straight ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. It's just, it's making it a hard game time decision for the Z102.9 marching band, which is back this week as the Hawks are back.
Yeah, my preference is the lawn, yeah. But there's also a bit of a breeze, and I don't think we're going to probably clear 60.
Oh.
So I think this morning, I mean, it'll be 76 this afternoon.
But this morning.
But I would hate to put them out there, wet shoes, breeze. This is,
I don't want somebody getting pneumonia.
That's the ingredients for pneumonia.
My mother would be furious.
I want a healthy Z102.9 marching band.
This is like peak cold and flu season.
That's right.
And I worry about the band.
Got flu in my left arm. I got COVID in my right arm yesterday.
Ooh, jab, jab.
Jab, jab.
Yeah.
That COVID one's stinging this morning.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like every other one is painful.
It's just a dull, it just kind of, I mean, it probably went right in the muscle. So
maybe.
Now I'm starting to wonder if the flu shot guy missed. Or, I don't know.
Because usually that flu shot.
Yes, I know.
And it's kind of achy.
Shorter needle?
I don't know.
Don't know either.
They changed something?
I went to the same, remember the last time I got one of these shots and I had to weirdly take my shirt off?
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't have to.
Good. You wore a short,
I had a sweatshirt.
Unseasonably warm.
And I also had a t-shirt on underneath. So that was just a roller up.
And you offered to take off your shirt, but they said, no, please, sir, no.
You know what it is? I don't know. There's something about these University of Iowa pharmacy techs, because they're the ones who have to do it.
Would you prefer that I take
my
shirt off?
Do you think they have a class? It is just called How to Deal with Guys Who Want to Take Their Shirt Off.
John Mulaney has a whole stand-up thing that this he would get flu shots from this guy when he, you know, had a problem.
Right. Oh, I remember this.
And the guy insisted he take the shirt off.
I do remember that. For no reason.
No.
No.
So at least it's not that.
She was.
It's you insisting you want to take your shirt off.
Pleasant enough. She's from Minnesota. I got her life story.
Oh.
She's on her 5th clinical rotation. She'll graduate in May.
Got the whole.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she doesn't mind giving shots. She's really good at that. She hates wearing the rubber gloves. Just doesn't.
You can't do one without the other.
No,
so.
You can't. Not when you're dealing with touching people's skin.
But I suppose there is the ick factor of...
It's a little ick. There's also, like, then you put a Band-Aid on, and whatever the Band-Aid's made out of doesn't rub well against the glove.
Yeah.
And, you know, work hazard for a pharmacist.
And your hands get sweaty, and then you're like...
Yeah, totally.
Gloves stick to you, and then you have that kind of latexy smell...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
...on your skin afterwards. There's no winning, lady. I get it. And happy World Egg Day.
Today is the day we celebrate the egg.
The incredible edible egg.
Yes.
They gave me all these like stats and stuff, and they asked people about different egg preferences, but one of them shocked me because we've been out to many a breakfast location
sure
before,
yes.
Right? You know, when they like, they give you your big plate and you might have like some eggs and hash browns. And I always assumed that when they offer you ketchup, it's for people to put ketchup on the hash browns.
No, there's a whole contingent that likes ketchup on eggs. I tried it in junior high for a little while.
What?
Yeah.
I was
not
today
aware.
Years old.
No, ketchup on eggs is a thing.
When that was one of the things they pulled people on, and a third of people said, yeah, we like ketchup on eggs.
I know a couple. I don't like it.
They don't.
No.
For me, that's a, what? Huh?
Yeah.
Like, I could see it accidentally got on there, but purposely?
Yeah. Poured it on themselves.
So is this a scrambled egg situation?
It could go with any egg.
Any egg?
Why not? An omelet. Over easy.
Scrambled. I'm scandalized.
Poached. Quiche.
Whoa. Poached eggs. Like a runny.
I'm not advocating for it. I'm just understanding there's another way to eat eggs.
Okay.
I don't subscribe to that channel.
I'm just seeing. Now I'm getting runny yolks.
Yeah,
and ketchup,
I know. And those things just not mixing together.
That's not jiving for me.
They don't seem to be of the same consistency or coagulation.
No, I don't like it.
Viscosity.
Like it. Mm-hmm.
It's like oil and water.
Yeah.
Ketchup and runny eggs.
Nope.
But you were not aware that sometimes people get ketchup not for their hash browns, for their eggs.
No, I've only ever considered ketchup for hash browns.
Which makes sense. It's a potato.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, potatoes love ketchup.
No.
Eggs.
Right now, there are four people listening to us, at least one and a half of them.
They're like ketchup. Claire.
Eric Hello? Knows. Come on, Claire, get with the program.
I like that you tried to force yourself into it.
What?
In junior high, I went through a phase in junior high. We all go through phases in junior high. It's a very tough time.
That's a true story.
I was trying to identify myself as a ketchup on eggs person.
I was trying to figure out who I was. My body was changing.
It didn't take.
I was going through a lot of things. What am I into? What am I not into? I don't know. I'm a young man. I'm developing into a young man. I don't know. Am I a ketchup on eggs guy? Now that I'm saying that, I'm thinking I probably had a family member who would at least have that.
Yeah, I should try it before I say, ugh.
You don't have to.
I'm going to do it this weekend.
No, why?
Because I'm open-minded.
You think you might fall into love
with if I do?
Ketchup and eggs?
I could. I like eggs all different kinds of ways.
So do I. I don't like ketchup on them.
I don't know
I just
if
feel
I
like
do.
You've hit a point in your life where you can actually go, you know what? I don't need to try that.
Really?
I've made it professionally.
I've
made it personally. I can say no.
I can take a stand.
You should.
No, I'm open-minded.
You're going to be okay.
I think there's a chance. Will I be serving hash browns with it? I think I have to.
Another ketchup delivery vehicle.
Yes, yes.
Fair enough.
Ew.
Okay. Give it a shot.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to like it. I'm pretty sure.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
It's kind of interesting. We've been working on a special project here at Zoo 102.9. We call it our eerie address book. And we're trying to put together a list of all of the houses that you should definitely go check out, because as much as we love a great holiday Christmas display, the number of full-out decorated homes for Halloween is on the rise as well.
The weather's been great. People have had ample opportunity to go out on the weekend. You and I were going to the grocery store the other day off of Wilson Avenue, and it's like skeleton town. The one person's yard.
Ghosts and skeletons, and it was great. Stuff like that should definitely be added. I caught one this morning, which I think maybe is like it's usually on at night and then it powers down for the wee morning hours, but they had it on as I was driving to work, and it was a complete homage to The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I have one of those in my neighborhood, too.
I love it.
All inflatables.
Yes.
But it's all the major characters, and they're to scale.
Yes.
It works perfectly.
Sally and Jack Skellington and Oogie Boogie, and they had a fourth one. I don't know who that was. But they had all of them all lined up. They were all to scale, like you said. And then they had, like, a projection that went up on the house with all of the characters there.
That's
like,
awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. Get that in the eerie address book, or I'm going to put it in there. Just drive by and look at your house number, because it looked great.
All you got to do is go to our website, kzia.com. You'll see a sinister smiling pumpkin. That is the eerie address book. You click there. You don't need to give us your name. Just need to get an address. And then you'll see the map is populating in real time. We're starting to pick up some addresses going in, so that's pretty cool. And then you just kind of plan out a weekend. This doesn't even have to be a trick-or-treat map, right?
No,
it could just be on a random Wednesday. You want to drive around and look at the Halloween
check
lights.
Check out our spooky display.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Here is my day today. 10 o'clock, show's over. 10:30, you and I are reading for America Reads
that's
Day.
That's right.
And about 11:15, I'm headed to Wisconsin. So this was our Christmas present to some of our friends. We're getting the tailgate group back together.
We're getting the band back together.
This is the group that went to Iowa games for decades. And then life happens, marriages and children, and then they're in the area. They're all Cedar Rapidians. We see them socially. But
it gets so hard.
It does.
The older you get. Yeah.
And in the Hawkeye context, none of them keep season tickets anymore, so we see them rarely in that arena. So I feel like we're going to try to relive some moments of tailgate lore. Mm-hmm. And my worry is I'm getting a little old for this. Certainly old enough to know better.
But you're wiser.
I am. But the problem is you just get caught up in the fun and the socializing.
Oh, I know.
And then you wake up the next morning and then you're like, what did I do last night?
Mm-hmm.
At what age does someone just need to go, you know what? I can't do that anymore. Or I shouldn't do that anymore.
Is there like somebody who could be, I don't want to say wet blanket, more responsible?
I believe in the group, we're all responsible.
Right, right.
It's just the problem, you get caught up in the socializing.
So like if some of us are getting caught up, somebody just isn't as caught up.
Nobody wants to take that role.
Nobody wants to do it.
And the other challenge is, that's a great idea. But then you are, some people call it like, you know, the fun police.
Yeah.
The fun hater.
You hate fun.
You don't want to be that.
But also, don't you guys have an entire day of tailgating?
Yes.
Like it starts at 7 a.m. and it's a night game. What time's the game?
Iowa kicks off at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. It's homecoming, by the way, in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, we're the home of Miller Lite and cheese curds, right?
We would love to spoil that for them.
We would love to, from a football standpoint. I would also like to take advantage of their hospitality to a limit. We are not going to park at 7:30 in the morning.
Okay,
that's
good.
Absurd.
Good.
That is stupid.
See? You're already older and wiser. Look
yes.
at you.
I'm a little more worried, though, about tonight, because we're going to go find a traditional Wisconsin supper club.
Well, don't overdo it.
Well,
you don't
you
get
say
them,
that now.
You're going to give yourself the meat sweats,
I
and
know.
You're going to hate yourself.
But in the moment, Claire, stop being the fun police. Stop being a fun hater.
Oh, it's
you.
It's
you.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
It was midday yesterday that we found out that Jack Trice Stadium will be the home of Luke Combs for one night. It was announced he is doing a U.S. tour. And my kind of Saturday night, which kicks off in Vegas in March of 2026, third stop on the tour will be Ames.
Wow.
Saturday, April the 11th. Luke Combs, Dierks Bentley, among the other performers. Tickets on sale starting October the 14th. Iowa State Football Stadium recently started doing concerts again, the first since 1999.
Really?
Yeah, which is great.
Oh, that's exciting. You know, outdoors?
Yes. Oh, for sure. Luke Combs coming to Ames. And then we find out this last night. The University of Iowa, in partnership with Iowa City Area Sports Commission, is welcoming professional exhibition baseball team, the Savannah Bananas, are coming to play baseball in Kinnick Stadium.
What?
July 3rd and 4th. Questions abound.
Yeah.
That's a baseball team. That's a football stadium. That's
That's
artificial turf. How do you put in, like when they brought in wrestling and basketball, you put it on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do for a baseball stadium?
Now, my daughter is a huge Savannah Bananas fan, and I don't think she's ever watched them play baseball. I think she'd be just as happy if they just did their stunts and their little TikTok videos in Kinnick Stadium.
They are the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
Yeah.
It's the best way to describe them. They are known for crazy rules, trick plays, fun props, crowd interaction, choreographed dances. main stand tickets to the outdoor event will be sold through the Savannah Bananas ticketing platform. And Claire, when I'll walk you through how to get in the lottery.
All right. You just go to the Savannah Bananas website.
Yes.
And you click on the first thing that pops up at the top of the page is ticket lottery. Just click ticket lottery.
Yes.
And then enter your information.
Do you have to find your town?
Yes, there's a drop-down menu that asks you what city are you interested in.
Because I tried to get them for Des Moines. Was that last year?
Yeah.
They came through? Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just fill all of that out, and it's kind of a wait and see.
Lottery closes October 31st. I don't know when they officially draw, but yeah, that's it's like, I see you, Ames, and I raise you a baseball team.
Ha-ha!
So big news for both Jack Trice and Kinnick Stadium coming both yesterday. Wrapping up the buzz, let's meet our kid captain. Lily Sebastian is this week's kid captain for the Iowa-Wisconsin matchup. Lily has overcome incredible odds. She was born a preemie, required surgery day one.
Wow.
She spent her first 10 months in the NICU at the said Family Children's Hospital. She is now 12 years old. She loves music and bike rides. Big Hawkeye fan. Currently at Wilson Middle School, where they threw a parade for her in the school yesterday, and she was her own grand marshal.
That is so cool.
Lily was accompanied by the Jefferson High School drum line and some members of the Iowa Hawkeye football team.
Wow.
So they did a big celebration for her at Wilson. Some of the players hung back, did some autographs. How cool.
That is awesome.
Yes, that is your kid captain for the Iowa and Wisconsin Battle for the Heartland Trophy. Her name is Lily Sebastian of Cedar Rapids. Got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
A federal judge in New York dismissed Drake's defamation lawsuit that he was bringing against his own company, Universal Music Group, ruling that the lyrics in Kendrick Lamar's diss track about Drake, Not Like Us, were considered opinion.
Was he going for also like libel or slander too?
Yeah, the lawsuit alleged that the track used false pedophilia allegations against Drake, tarnishing his reputation and his brand value. It also led to violence at his home, damages diminished the value of his brand. The Universal Group denied those allegations, expressed satisfaction with the court's decision. Drake's people said that they would be appealing the ruling.
That's so, how this always goes.
Yeah, we'll see if that's the end or not. But I don't
you work in a format of creative expression. It's not a format of fact, right?
You launched a diss track at him. He launched one. I don't know where things started, but they just kept going. And it's like, just stop, guys.
It just feels like, well, you're winning and I'm not winning, so I'm going to try to slow you down,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. But I think you already lost. Like the Super Bowl, I feel like that was just case
that
closed.
That should have just closed the door.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yep.
We're not talking about it unless you keep bringing it back up.
Take a minute, regroup, and
right.
just start over. Yep. Okay. We saw them holding hands, walking through Rome this summer. Harry Styles and Zoe Kravitz have been dating over the past couple of months. We spotted them in August, and now it looks like their relationship is getting serious.
Says who?
Well, their friends have confirmed that they are moving in together.
Whoa!
Yeah, getting real serious, real fast, right?
Yes.
August, September, it's now early October. They are going to be living together in London. They have a very strong connection between the two of them, and they seem to be really enjoying each other's company. Zoe has plans to stay at Harry's place in London. She's going to return to working on a film. I don't know what project he has coming up, but they really appreciate each other. He has a great sense of humor. She's really down to earth. So they just enjoy spending time together.
How do you think meeting Lenny went?
Lenny approves.
Okay.
Yeah. Lenny also signed off on the romance. So.
All right.
You got dad's approval. That's good.
As long as you're in with the parents, you're good.
Yeah. You're good to go then. Okay. I'm so excited to bring you some Disney news.
I'm surprised I don't know what this is.
I'm surprised you don't either. Usually every time I bring up some sort of Disney update, you've already heard.
I was already on a fan site and saw it.
I already got a text.
Disney, let me know firsthand. Dear Eric, this is Disney.
Bob Iger just texted me. It is.
What is it?
Their live action remakes have been kind of a mixed bag of how they've been appreciated, right? There's been some real big hits and there's been some real big misses. So I don't know how to feel about this, but they haven't given up on the concept. In development right now is Tangled.
I'm okay with it.
You're for it?
Yes.
What if I told you it's Tangled starring Scarlett Johansson? What? What?
Can she sing? Why not just put Mandy Moore in it? She's the one who did the music.
That's true. She is the voice of Rapunzel.
Yes.
Well, Scarlett Johansson would not be playing Rapunzel. Actually, Scarlett Johansson would be cast as the evil Mother Gothel.
Really?
Yeah, that's their intention. You know, she has that magic flower. It makes her young and beautiful.
I am now curious. Yes.
I can kind of see it. I'm kind of into this
idea. I thought Scarlett
idea.
Johansson was kind of done with Disney after they did her wrong on Black Widow.
I thought so, too.
Right?
I thought
she's like, fine, I'm going to go do dinosaur movies and make millions over here.
Yeah.
So this is a casting rumor or a casting true?
No, it is a casting rumor at this point. We've got Tangled. They also have big success with Lilo and Stitch
yeah.
and Mufasa. The Lion King got things moving. The next thing we're going to get is Moana. It comes out in July.
I'm still waiting to see a trailer for that.
I haven't seen anything.
No.
Yeah, no. Very curious to what that's going to look like.
I wonder if that'll run before maybe Avatar,
ooh,
which is under the Disney label. Yes. A live action Tangled, Eric Hansen approves.
Approval. They got the Disney approval, but you now have the Dancing Eric Hansen approval. Congratulations.
You don't need Bob Iger to sign off on it. You need Dancing Eric Hansen.
We're going to green light this one. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Welcome to this 41st week of the year 2025, nerds, as we broadcast from our latitude of 41.88 degrees north and a longitude of 91.72 degrees west, elevation 840 feet above sea level. We bring you today's edition of Nerd News.
Lay it on us.
A planetary geologist, somebody who studies the rocks on planets.
Rock doctor.
From the University of Iowa, is part of an elite NASA team poring over data being relayed from the Perseverance Mars rover.
Cool.
Which has discovered some of the clearest signs yet of ancient life on Mars.
What?
Yeah. Perseverance, by the way. Professor Valerie Pyre, University of Iowa professor, is working with what's called the rover's SuperCam, which uses a laser and spectrometers to determine the mineral makeup of samples of soil it is taking from the planet. They are looking at little tiny pieces as small as a pencil point, and they are measuring it from a distance of 20 feet away. So the rover is just like, boop, got one, boop, got another one. It's mapping pencil point by pencil point.
Wow.
That's how pinpoint this thing is.
Okay.
So that data comes to us, and then they break down. What are the ingredients? What is in the soil? What they are finding are similar to rocks on Earth that show byproducts of microbial life. So you got to go way back to like, what, the Meso-blah-blah-blah era, yeah. Right? When those little tiny bacteria are coming out and then uh-huh. that works its way and gets bigger and bigger. They're seeing similar things on Mars.
Wild.
I know. So they just now have to continue to break down the data even further.
Seen any current life?
Not as of yet.
Okay.
But I do love that we have at the University of Iowa something known as the Planetary Exploration Group, and she's the head of it.
That
How cool is that?
So cool.
There's life on Mars. You will find out from a Hawkeye. Renewable energy sources generated more electricity than coal globally for the first time in the first half of 2025. That's never happened before.
Really?
Wind and solar, primarily, supplied 5,072 terawatt hours of electricity globally between January and June of this year. Coal, 4,896 terawatt hours. The shift is primarily in China and India.
Oh, yeah.
Solar is up 43% and wind is up 16% in China. India, 29% rise in solar, wind up 31%. Now, there's a bit of counterbalancing we have to do as a planet. United States is back more fossil fuel than mm-hmm. we were, say, a year or two ago. Also, it appears the European Union is back into more of the fossil fuel. So that's the delicate balance we're working on. But for the first time ever, renewable energy powered more things on this planet than coal did in a six-month period.
Wow.
That's a pretty big milestone.
That's huge.
Pretty big. Okay. I do not, is the term fear-monger? I'm not a sky is falling guy.
Okay.
But I got to let you know this.
Chicken Little sort of fella.
Exactly. This disturbs me. The Boy Who Cried asteroid. International space agencies say an asteroid zipped by Earth, closer, by the way, to our planetary orbit than most satellites in the sky, and nobody noticed until hours later.
Oh, no.
The European Space Agency said Monday an asteroid 3 to 10 feet wide was picked up by radar Wednesday, October 1st, at about 265 miles above the Earth. It passed by Antarctica. By the way, that's about where the space station orbits. We have a planetary defense system, and the lights didn't go off. Nobody noticed until after the fact.
Run some tests, make sure that system is working.
I would say so, yes, please. We didn't know it was coming. We didn't know it passed by until someone looked down and went, oh, we just mapped something that just flew by.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
That was a close one.
Now,
woo.
Everybody is very quick to say,
It wouldn't have done much to the Earth. In fact, it broke up in the atmosphere and is pretty small.
I don't care you missed one.
No excuses.
You missed one. I will tell you this, though. They still are keeping an eye on it, and I forget the name of it, but they had this earlier this summer. There is something out there that has a 4% chance of hitting the moon in 2032. So I will give you that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We are all over 2032, but we missed something until hours after?
Uh-huh.
We got We gotta get better.
And if it's a size issue, then get the University of Iowa people that can look at pencil specs.
Oh, yeah. Talk to her.
Use that science.
Yep.
So you are tracking everything up there. Everything. You don't know what's flying at us.
Yeah, we shouldn't risk something flying in there.
We missed one.
Yeah.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
All right, band, are you guys ready to go?
Well, I got this thing.
Yeah. Hey. Mikey
busy.
Needs to get that looked
at.
Yeah. Announcer's name, are you ready?
You bet, sir.
All right, let's get ready to fight, Dwight.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Halftime. Under the baton of director of bands Danson, John, Philip, Sousa, Hansen.
Yay.
And musical director Greg Young.
Yay!
The Z102.9 marching band is looking at this weekend's game a little differently. Now, when it comes to great football rivalries like Iowa and Wisconsin, most people think about the matchup as school versus school, team versus team. But what if it was an actual, literal battle of these two bordering states? What if the geographic landmasses of Iowa and Wisconsin actually had to battle it out for statehood dominance? Ponderous. Truly ponderous. Now, let's look at this hypothetical confrontation. How would this play out? In one corner, you have Iowa, the home of bacon and corn, and Ashton Kutcher and Tom Arnold. Iowa invented the first gas-powered tractor, the first electronic digital computer, and the trampoline, as well as innovations like sliced bread and Eskimo pies. Now, sure, the rest of America thinks us vanilla, plain, milk toast, white bread, flyover country, but that's what makes us sneaky good. In reality, we're pretty fly for a white guy.
One, two, three, four!
Now for our opponent, Wisconsin, a state that has both the words con and sin in its name. Poor, poor Wisconsin, you must be weighed down with such guilt. Is that why you have weird vocabulary for commonplace things? Is that a water fountain? Nope. In Wisconsin, it's a bubbler. See that traffic light? Not in Wisconsin. It's a stop-and-go light. Pathetic. This isn't even a fair fight. Let's dismiss this whole idea of two states fighting outright and bid farewell to Wisconsin. Carry on, wayward son.
One, two.
We've given up on the idea of Iowa and Wisconsin going a few rounds. There are so many hypothetical confrontations to consider. Who'd win in a battle between, say, if Lilo had to fight Stitch? Our sousaphone section versus our drum line. 100 duck-sized horses versus one horse-sized duck. Claire versus Director Hansen. Wait, that's not a fair fight. It's Claire all the way, every day. Sorry, Director Hansen. Somewhere, someone loves you. Don't stop believing.
We'll be right back.
the Z102.9 Marching Band. This is announcer's name saying enjoy the second half. And go Hawkeyes!
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
On Z102.9.
Let's start talking some Hawks, shall we?
Let's do it. Best way we know how to do that is breaking things down before the game, talking Hawks with the Vandenbergs, and we got Matt Vandenberg in studio.
Welcome back, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me. I felt bad I wasn't here last week, but
it was great to catch up with Laura, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you sent her some notes on what broke down in the Indiana game?
That was my favorite part, that you were like, here's exactly what you say. Don't stray from my script.
I have a statement to read from Matt Vandenberg.
I heard, you know, the whip out of the paper and then making sure she went down. I listened, made sure, you know, reviewed the tape, made sure
reviewed the tape.
That's the only way to get better, right? We got to watch the tape.
So speaking of, is that what happens when there is a week of nothing? Is it practice and a lot of tape review? What happens during a bye week?
It's a lot of Iowa versus Iowa. So, like, guys that are hurt trying to get healthy. But what I mean by Iowa versus Iowa is you're not really game planning for Wisconsin. You might, like, test out a couple things. Mm-hmm. But really, it's, okay, how do we refine our offense running our offense and our defense running our defense? And with how many people we've got hurt, like, our starting Mike linebacker's out. So how does Jaden Montgomery go in and take all those extra reps over this week so he can really have, quote, 2 weeks of prep going into Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. Receivers obviously have kind of been moving around. Quarterbacks, KF said it could be any one of three that could play. So, like, how do all those twos necessarily get one reps for that entire week? So that's kind of what the bye week is about. Give the starters, like Ethan Hurkett doesn't need to be going all 5 days. You know what I mean? He can take a little break, get his body refreshed for now this four-game block where we've got Penn State's no longer in the top 25, but they were supposed to be two top 10.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, so you got a Big Ten block here. Get your body ready for that, another bye week, and then prepare for the last part of the season.
Got it.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it because you do kind of at this point of the season, is this a good spot for a bye week?
Yes,
right?
Well, you've had 3 weeks of camp and then five straight weeks of playing football. Like, our guys needed a break.
And given the amount of injuries that we've had, it's time.
It's like you've been paying attention every week. I appreciate that.
She's plugged in. We do not know who the starting quarterback's going to be, or do we know when we're just doing a little gamesmanship right now?
KF said it on his presser on Tuesday. Mark Gronowski was listed as the one, but then it had Hank Brown or Jeremy Hicklinski, who's a transfer out of Wake Forest, and then he said all three could play. Now, the big thing with Mark Gronowski is that he is medically cleared, so the training staff has said, all right, you're good to go,
okay.
But that's not the biggest problem. Because most of the times when we think about injuries, we just think, okay, his body can do it, he can go. But it's the mental aspect of how do I plant off this foot if I'm in an open field situation? So how much does he trust it? Which hopefully he got the last 3 days. He's got today's Friday, so they'll have a fast Friday practice. Like, how does that kind of make him feel going into the game?
Are they busing up to Madison?
So the away game this year was Iowa State, so they probably bust to Iowa State. You only bust to one game a year.
Okay, just curious.
Nice.
I didn't know how geography always played into that.
What's Wisconsin looking like? How are the Badgers this year?
Is it okay if I say they're fickle?
Fickle.
That's the coach's name.
Yeah.
Gary Fickle.
What does that mean? How do they play?
Well, it's not the Wisconsin of old. So before, they would have some running back who's going to play 10 years in the league because he's rushing for 2,000 yards. Linemen that are all 6'8", 350 pounds, right? That's not the Wisconsin anymore. I don't know. Kind of the fallout with Paul Christ, and before him was Bielema and Anderson, but they had like this Iowa type of offense, really, like two or three tight ends, power football.
I always felt it was like Iowa taking on itself.
Yes,
absolutely. Which is why the games are like 10-6.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but Fickell came in. He came from Cincinnati, who he had Desmond Ridder, who was a drafted quarterback, but he was kind of a dual threat guy, pistol, RPO, and they tried to bring that to Wisconsin. But the tough part is if you don't have the transfers right away that fit that scheme, now you've got guys that aren't fit for what you're trying to do.
Hmm.
And now you're recruiting guys that are trying to fit that, but they're young and inexperienced, and they're kind of in that mesh of that now they don't know who they are, admittedly.
Some growing pains.
Some identity issues, it sounds like.
Yes. So I think there's a lot of going back and forth, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the hot seat just because that Wisconsin job is like they expect 10 wins. They expect Big Ten championships. And then to come in and kind of reverse, which is why I always kind of say that Iowa fans don't take for granted winning 8-10 games every year because a lot of times you go through that coaching change and you just don't have it right away.
So they lost to Michigan last week, and I think they're on a 3-game losing skid. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Like I said, it's not the Wisconsin of old. You know, the defense is still similar. It's a 3-4 defense, so 3 down linemen, 4 linebackers. You got to figure out who's blitzing, who's not. But it's just not the same hard-nosed 10-6 game that I would expect.
I gave a couple stats this morning. If you could break down, Iowa is not allowed a point in the third quarter. Is that because we just adjust so well? for defense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not like you go into the halftime and then like Coach Parker's like, throw everything out. We're going to start over.
Let's do something different, you guys.
They're not quite there, but usually, at least in my experience, you watch the first drive for the opposing team. They might go down and then kick a field goal. And then our defense like, oh, that's how it is. And then they adjust and then
got
go
it.
From there. Third quarter, they're usually into the rhythm, right? Guys are starting to fly around and make plays. And you get more confident. Like you can take extra risk that you wouldn't do just because you're trying to figure out how they're going to try and play you. You know, like the first quarter and a half, I'm trying to figure out, is this DB going to try and get his hands on me, be more physical, or is he going to stand back and kind of let me do what I want, but he's going to try and shadow? So like trying to figure out how guys play also plays into that.
And look at special teams, our punt return leading the nation
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps if you have a 95-yarder.
Yeah, that's true.
To bring that up.
That is a good one.
But yeah, Caden Wiegand's been playing phenomenally, and obviously you got to give the other 10 guys credit. Coach Woods is definitely starting to harp on that because that is a weapon when you can start on the 50-yard line or plus territory.
Oh, sure, yeah. Run that ball back.
Now, I did appreciate last week when Laura was here, she was breaking down stuff a script that you sent her. But she's really good about kind of figuring out the legends, the lore
yes.
of the place that we're going to.
Yes.
And we're going to Wisconsin. What kind of lore do we have when it comes to the Badgers?
So it's kind of haunted when it comes to the press. And I don't know. Do we have ominous music? Ooh,
get something spookier.
Like oh, you want
right
ominous
now we got
music?
Sports. Get rid of this sports sound. Give me some Halloween.
We're spooky.
Oh, I love that.
We're spooky.
Oh, I'm freaked out. I don't even want to say it. So with their press, I forget exactly. It's kind of like the Daily Iowan, but Wisconsin's version.
Their student paper?
Yes.
Okay.
So they had a certain guy who was kind of running the printer, and he was in charge of the whole operation. Well, you weren't allowed beer in this particular area. And so he would crack open a beer, but when he cracked it open, he would cough over it. So that way you couldn't hear him crack
right.
open the beer.
No one
right?
will catch him.
And he always worked the night shift. Well, legend has it, after he died, if you work late at night, you'll hear a cough at some point during the night because that's him cracking open his beer.
He's still having a beer in the afterlife.
That is so great.
That's also the most Wisconsin story.
So Wisconsin. And then you'll also hear the sound of frying cheese curds. It's spooky, you guys.
Oh, did somebody bring a hot dish?
Oh,
it's a haunted hot dish. I love these little bits of lore. This is so cool.
No, that's good. That's good stuff right there.
We're breaking down the upcoming Iowa and Wisconsin game very quickly. This is also a trophy game. Does that mean more as a player?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
you want to bring home this trophy because what they'll do is they'll set this empty trophy case in the weight room the entire week. So you're looking at it. And you
oh,
have
really?
To, and you have to watch the fact that you don't have this trophy. Now, even though we won it last year, it's just sitting off to the side. So that way you look
like
at an empty
can't
trophy.
You can't
correct.
Avoid it.
You have to earn it this year. This is a 2025 team that has to earn it. So yeah, we want full trophy cases. For
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, it just looks weird if they're not in there, right? There
Thank
are
you.
Trophies. Bring them back home, you guys. Matt Vandenberg, it is always great talking Hawks with you. I think we are ready for this Wisconsin game. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.